today is found in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus concerning the institution of the Passover to the Israelites, concerning the leadings of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. The Lord had instructed Moses concerning the Passover, and after receiving the instruction of the Lord, he called for the elders of the children of Israel to come to him. And when they came to him, then he began to instruct them and said unto them that they should take the lamb and that they should kill it and that they should take the blood out of the basin into which the blood ran and take a bunch of hyssop and strike the lintel and the two side posts of the door upon which they live, and that they likewise should go into their homes and not go out of their homes that night at all until the morning. And that when God had led them out and they came into the land of promise, then they were to keep this ordinance forever unto them and to their sons. And when their children did ask them, when they were in the land of promise, what meaneth you by this service? They were to remind them of what God had done for them down in the land of Egypt, how that he had passed over their houses and had struck the firstborn of all that were in the land of Egypt. Moses then was speaking to the elders of the people in this way, and when the people heard of this commandment that God had given unto them, they bowed their head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went out and did as the Lord had commanded them. In this ordinance we have in the beginning that they were to take a lamb. This lamb was a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is spoken of in many instances in Scripture of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He is, as Peter says, a lamb without spot and without blemish. He was holy, he was harmless, he was undefiled and separate from sinners. This lamb was to be of the first year. It was to be a male. This typifies likewise that Christ was also taken as a sacrifice by his Father, and he likewise was in the midst of his days. This lamb was to be of the first year. This typified the strength of Christ. And likewise, this lamb was to be taken and was to be kept to the 14th day of the month. It was kept 4 days, and upon the 14th day, it was to be slain. If we read in Scripture, Christ entered into Jerusalem 4 days before the day of the Passover, very much signifying this procedure that God gave to the children of Israel with this lamb. He was slain upon the day of the Passover. For this, taking this lamb, they were likewise to kill it. The whole congregation of the Israelites were to kill this lamb. They were to take the blood that fell into the basin and strike it upon the sidepost and the lintel of the door of their houses. This signifies unto us how that Christ likewise was taken and was slain. And his blood is the blood that atones for the sins of all his people. This striking the blood over the door and on the side post was a sign for the destroying angel that was to come through the night and not to enter into the house where the blood was upon the side post and over the top of the door. For in that house, there were nothing else but Israelites. This likewise signifies that the blood of Jesus Christ must be also applied to us. Upon our souls shall we be preserved in the great day of judgment. God will take notice of the blood. This angel, the destroying angel, was to take notice only of the blood that was upon the doors. This signified that they were to be preserved, they were not to be destroyed, the firstborn in their homes. What a wonder God made a distinction between the Israelites and between the Egyptians by the blood. Not because the Israelites were any better than the Egyptians. They had not, in one case of the word, sinned as much as the Egyptians had, for the Egyptians had been very cruel and very mean to the Israelites. But they were under the wrath of God just as much as the Egyptians were, and they were due to be doomed too. But it was only by this blood that God had commanded would be over the door that they were preserved. Remember this, my dear hearers. It was a sign and a token to these Israelites that it was only of God's mercy and of God's grace that they were to be preserved. So these people then were also commanded that they were to keep this ordinance themselves and their sons forever. They were then to continue year by year having this ordinance that Passover God had instituted. This was a constant memorial to them of how good God had been to them down in the land of Egypt, bringing them out of their bondage and bringing them into the land of promise. And when they did observe this, when they were brought into the land of promise, if their children should say unto them, "What meanest thou by this service?" then they were to explain to their children what the meaning was, why God had instituted this, and how wonderful God had been to them as a nation and as a people. This would lead their children likewise to believe in this God and to worship this God as their fathers had. They, the children of Israel, received these commandments from Moses. And when they had heard this, they bowed down and they worshiped. Take notice. There was no rebellion there. There was no dissatisfaction there. You read, before Moses had come, they already had become dissatisfied. They were very much dissatisfied while the plagues were taking place amongst the Egyptians. They could not believe that they ever would be delivered. They came into a state that they despaired of ever being brought out of Egypt. But now God instituted this ordinance, and the night that they were to do this, the night was the night of their deliverance, and they received this from Moses by faith. They fell down and worshiped, and they were obedient unto this command. They went back home, and they did as God had commanded them by the mouth of Moses. These people then, they were given to know that this night there would come a destroying angel throughout the land of Egypt. And this destroying angel would destroy all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, wherever there was no blood. Oh, what they must have been thinking about, these Israelites. Oh, in all probability, some of them probably thought, "Well, I could go out of the house. I don't have to be obedient. I could go out and see whether this is going to take place or not." Curiosity many times overpowers people. But we do not read thereof that one of them disobeyed this. They all remained in their respective homes. And they were to eat this Passover with bitter herbs and unleavened bread. This signified the very bitter sufferings that Christ went through and would go through in the future. This was a sign of the sufferings of Christ that he would undergo for the children of Israel, the spiritual children. This bitter herbs likewise signifies to the children of God many times how that they had been in bondage, how that they were in bitterness of soul. And what a blessing, my hearers, if ever you have been in bitterness of soul, And God has come with his precious word and said that they shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn over him as over an only son. Oh, what a mercy to feel such a great sinner and to be given the sight of Christ hanging on the cross for your sins. If ever this takes place, you may be sure you'll experience a bitter mourning, a bitter sorrow, and a bitter grief that it was you and your sins that caused Christ to be crucified. This eating this with bitter herbs and likewise unleavened bread signified likewise that when a person is given to experience a new birth, then they are to likewise live a holy life because of him who came into the world for them and suffered and died for them. This ordinance then was to be kept forever. So Christ has instituted the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, and he has said, do this in remembrance of me. Do it until I come. This ordinance likewise is to remain until the day when Christ shall come to judge the quick and the dead. This ordinance of the Passover is likewise signifies the ordinance also of the Lord's Supper. The Lord instituted this supper on the night before that he was betrayed and the night before that he was led to the cross. This supper likewise is a supper for God's people, for those for whom God has made choice from all eternity. It is not for every individual confessing member of the church, but it is only for those who have been by the grace of God born again, been given a true saving faith, and they are commanded by Christ to remember him thereby. They were to remember themselves how God led them out of this worldly Egypt, for they had perished with the world, and they are commanded to come forward and show that they are his. They are then given likewise to experience that as Christ suffered, bled, and died for them, they may partake of this food, this spiritual food and nourishment which he has put into the Lord's Supper as signifying his body and his blood. Eat and drink, he says. Oh, what a mercy if you have ever been given to eat and to drink by faith, believing in him who is signified by this ordinance. And now God came to the Israelites and commanded them to go home, to remain in their houses and not come out of their houses until the morning. And we read so distinctly that there came a destroying angel. God sent this destroying angel into Egypt. And wherever he did not see the blood, he entered into that home and struck the firstborn. Stop to think once. How many homes probably there was only one son, their only son, and that son was struck? Probably there were other homes that there were more sons, but the firstborn, he was struck. Oh, considering this, what terrible things took place when this destroying angel went through the land of Egypt. We can't picture in our mind what must have been going on in every house where there was one dead. The Bible says there was not one house where there was not one dead. And the Bible says that there was a lamentation and a cry throughout all the land of Egypt. But this hand of God came out against the Egyptians. They had smitten the children of the Israelites. When Moses was born, Pharaoh gave a commandment that all the children under a certain age were to be killed, commanded even the midwives to kill the children. And God says in his commandments that he would remember the sins of the fathers unto the first and unto the fourth generation. God remembered the sins of the fathers of the Egyptians, that they had slain the Israelitish children, and God came now and slew theirs. He was a righteous God. He was just in doing this, and he was not unrighteous in visiting these people for their sins. And these people, in the midst of all their agony, all what they were going through, we can picture them that they were frantic. Oh, they were besides themselves. I read an article in the commentary of the Egyptian people that they are so attached to each other, that the relatives are so close together with each other, and that when someone dies, then the mother strips herself from here up, and she dishevels her hair, and she runs through the street like a wild woman. And the husband, he with disordered clothes, follows her. And all the relatives do the same thing, and they all shriek, and they howl, and they yell. What a terrible thing to do. It is sad enough when someone dies in our home, and we are filled with grief. But this is the way they are carried on with their feelings and with their grief. They reveal it outwardly. In the streets they run and show everybody that someone has died in their house. Oh, in this respect, these people who all had somebody dead in their home, they had no one to comfort them. You know, if we have somebody that gets sick in our family in the middle of the night, we have sometimes a neighbor and we can go to them and ask them to come and help us. But they didn't have anybody to do that to because the neighbor was in the same position as they were. This sent up a cry throughout the land of Egypt, a lamentation, it says in the scriptures, and they could not contain themselves. For this was struck home to everyone. What a terrible thing this was, my hearers. Oh, does this not teach us to tremble before this God who has such power and who can in one moment cut so many precious lives off? And does this not teach us not to be like Pharaoh? Pharaoh was an obstinate and a man that would not give in. And it was because of his obstinacy and his rebellion against God that God visited these people. Oh, how many precious souls and lives had been spared had he been obedient and listened to Moses and Aaron. But because of his obstinacy, this terrible judgment came down upon them. Oh, may we be given to love this God, to fear him, and to tremble before him, who could likewise take each and every one of us. For we are not a bit better than the Egyptians. Oh, our obstinacy, our sins and rebellion against this good God is daily seen by him. And we may say it is of the Lord's mercies, every one of us, that we are yet spared, that his hand has not come down upon us in judgment. All these people in Egypt, they wanted the Israelites to get out as fast as they could. And Pharaoh, he arose in the middle of the night. He had one son that was ready to be king in his place, and he was cut off. And so the servants that he had, they lost sons, the firstborn. They were all in the same position. And now the people of Egypt were urgent to get these people out of the land. Before, they wanted them to stay. They were the slaves. They were the men that did the work. But after so many plagues coming upon them and this terrible plague, then Pharaoh, he likewise was abased. And he called for Aaron and for Moses. And he told them, get out of the land. Go and do as thou hast asked. Take with you your herds and your flocks and your little ones, and go serve the Lord, and bless me also, he says. Oh, he was afraid himself that he might be the next one to be cut down. And it would have been so just of God to do so. But God has his time and the way in which he was going to visit this Pharaoh. And the people then were urgent that the Israelites would get out of the country. The Israelites didn't have any time to prepare any victuals to eat or anything. They took their netting troughs and they took the unleavened dough that they had, and they arose and they began to leave the country of Egypt. They then were delivered from their slavery, from their bondage. They were given also to take the jewels and the gold that these Egyptians offered them, because they had no money or anything to take on their journey. The commentary has a question about the word borrowed. They borrowed jewels and gold and silver of the Egyptians. But the word borrowed is not translated correctly, for they did not never come back to give that which they borrowed. They were given this by the Egyptians. And they urgently pushed them out of the land of Egypt. These people then were set free. They were set into liberty. And we find that there were 600,000 of them that went out of the land of Egypt that night on foot, let alone a multitude of mixed people that went with them also. How tremendously then had the Israelites grown in Egypt. Oh, the population of the Jews was immense from the time that Jacob came down into the land with 60 souls. And now we have likewise in this, my dear hearers, this wonderful truth that each and every one of us by nature are in the Egypt of this world. And sad to say, if God does not put a cry into your heart to be delivered out of this world and to be delivered out of yourself, then so many will experience just as the Egyptians did. They will remain in Egypt and they will die in Egypt. So sinners who are not gifted with the grace of the Spirit and gifted to see themselves as sinners and to cry to be delivered, they will remain in their sins and they will perish eternally. These Israelites are a type of the Church of Christ. God had chosen them. God had grace for them. God had separated them. God had put a sign upon them. He had marked them. He had given them a mark upon the doors and upon the top thereof. And because God had chosen them and loved them, therefore he led them out. This is a type of all the people of God who are in the Egypt of this world. And if you may be under that number, irrespective of who you are and what you are, if God has your name written in his precious book, there will come a time when he will bring you out of the Egypt of this world. He will lead you out. You will not be able to remain in it. You will forsake the world and every form of friend. Oh, what a wonderful thing this would be if God would come amongst us as a Bible class and take every one of us and lead us to himself. I could wish this from my very heart, that everyone here would experience this grace. It's so free, my hearers. It's so sovereign. It's not of anybody that does this or does that or has merited anything. No. It's because God wants you, and that's why he takes you. And it was because God wanted these people as a nation. He took them. He brought them out. How wonderful it was for these people that they were separated now and they had become now a nation themselves. And they, likewise, were given to experience that God was with them, all to be delivered out of this world and to be led on the narrow way which leadeth to everlasting life is a thing that's so necessary for every person listening to me. For we are all on the Broadway. We are all in Egypt, and we all like it there, and we will remain there, and we don't want to be moved out of it. We love the things in it. We don't want to let them go. No. In fact, we can't leave them go. This is the nature that we have. We must then receive a new nature. We must then receive faith. We must then be given by God to take our journey to that heavenly Canaan about. This is where the Israelites were journeying to the promised land, that land which God had promised unto Abraham 430 years back. This promise that he gave unto Abraham, that his seed would be in this country, in Egypt, and they would be troubled 400 years, and then after this, God would lead them out. A God of promise, a God that keeps his word. So he kept his word with the Israelites, and they were led out of the land of Egypt, and God led them. Oh, if we have God to lead us, what a blessing, my hearers. All by nature, we're led by the devil. We're led by sin. We're led by the love of this world. But oh, to have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, and to be led out to worship him, to serve him, to love him, to fear him. Oh, I can't explain, my hearers, the love that I have for every one of you, that you would experience this. It is my wish, my prayer, that God would grant you this grace, and that you would be separated from the world and be given to live a new life, a life to the glory and to the honor of God. So these children of Israel were the type of the church, the beginning of the first Jewish church. God was with them, and he brought them out, and they came to a place called Ramesses. This is where they stayed. After this, we find them being pursued by the Egyptians. Pharaoh and his servants, they began to say, what have we done? They were sorry that they let him go. And they gathered an army together, and they pursued after them. The type, likewise, of the devil and the army that he has at his control. If you are brought out, you will find that he will pursue you, too. Or he would seek to make you go back. He would like you to serve him. He don't want you to serve God. He will trouble you in every way and in every respect to get you back into his service. But once God has placed you in his service, you never can be delivered by the devil out of that service. That's a service of love. That's a service that God has given you to do. And that service you are never ashamed of. You never want to go back yourself. You may be tempted to. You may think that you've gone back, but never will you go back, because he has said that he will never leave nor forsake the work of his hands. And these people then, they were being followed by the Egyptians. And right away, these people were in trouble. Right away, they began to think that the Egyptians would overtake them, that they would take them back into the land of Egypt. Some of you probably have experienced this. You were afraid that you would go back. You were afraid that you would fall again in sin, and you would go ahead and do as so many others you knew of who had made a profession, but it had fallen to nothing. Oh, how they tremble, those sincere and upright souls, that God would keep them and protect them and not lead them over to themselves. They fear sometimes daily that this will take place. But oh, they are in good hands. He will keep them. Not one of them shall ever perish, he says. And now these people, they came. We will make this lesson short. They came to the Red Sea. And on the border of the Red Sea, there they came into a place where they were in between two mountains. And they could not go back, and they could not go forward, because if they went forward, they would have went into the sea. And there they began to cry unto God. that he would deliver them. And we read that God spake unto Moses and said, Why criest thou unto me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. What, forward into the sea? Forward into the water? Oh, this God who had brought them out of this country, he was with them. And he commanded Moses that the children of Israel should go forward. I like that word. We all want to go back by nature. And when you're a child of God, when you're brought into doubt, into fear, and you think everything is wrong, and you think, well, if I'm going to make a profession of religion and it's going to be ruined in the end, what's the use of going on with this profession? You want to know for sure that it's God's work, and you want God to put his witness upon it. And therefore, you have many thoughts of going back, but God has other thoughts. God comes and he compels you to go forward. So with these children of Israel, but with a sea in front of them, with the devil and the army behind them, Pharaoh and his men, they were told to go forward. And then God commanded Moses that he should stretch his rod out over the sea, and that he would make a path through the sea for these people, and that the Egyptians would follow them, and then they would see what God would do to the Egyptians. And now Moses, he was between the people and between God. And they already said, were there no graves in Egypt, couldn't we have died there? They were afraid they were going to die by the Egyptians. But Moses, he spake unto them in faith and said, Tomorrow ye shall see what God will do to the Egyptians. And Moses stretched out his rod over the sea, and God opened a way in the midst of the sea for the children of Israel. The waters began to be separated, and they began to stand up higher and higher and higher, and the ground became dry. A wonderful God, my hearers. A wonderful God he was for these people. They were given then to see that God had made a path for them to go through the sea. And they began to enter into this path and to go across the sea. And the Egyptians, they followed. They came to this pathway, and they began to walk into this pathway too. It's remarkable that they did, without stopping even to think. Who opened this pathway? Where did this come from? They did not even stop to think of what could happen to them. They followed the Israelites. And now as they followed the Israelites and they came into the sea, then the wagons of Pharaoh and his chariots began to go very heavy. They caught in the mud and they couldn't go. This was their first trouble. And then suddenly, the waters began to go back again. God commanded the waters to come and to begin to flow again. And then they said, God is fighting for the Israelites. Let us flee. But they couldn't flee. God gave that the waters came over the top of the Egyptians, and the Israelites, they kept walking on dry land. Wonderful things these people experienced, these Jewish people, by the hand of God. And all the Egyptians and Pharaoh and his host were drowned in the Red Sea. But all the Israelites were given to walk dry shod across the sea and come safely on the other side. A type, my dear hearers, of the Lord Jesus Christ, this Red Sea. If we have him and may pass through, regardless of what sort of trouble it may be, we shall eventually land on the side of the Canaan, the heavenly Canaan, and we shall be with him. But these people then were given the next day to see what God had done to their enemies. Every one of them were drowned Not one of them was spared. They saw the bodies of these Egyptians floating upon the water, and they could thank and praise their God for sparing them and leading them through this sea in this wonderful way. Who is a God like unto our God? Oh, to be in his hands, to be guided by him, to be protected by him, to be led by him, is such a great blessing, a gracious blessing. So it was to the Israelites. Oh, may it be so to you and I in this life, that when death doth come, we shall be given to be with him in glory above. The Lord bless this feeble instruction this afternoon to your immortal souls for his name's sake. That's all for today.